Do you know what a learner is called in the Bible? A disciple. A learner. A student. Go make disciples. Would you stand with me this morning as we read the Word of God? As we're going to read the teachings of Jesus as He's sitting on a hillside in Galilee. And in Matthew chapter 6, He says these words. Verses 19 through 24, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin or rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Father, we come before you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come before you today, people on a journey to meet, know, and follow Jesus. We're all, God, somewhere along this path of discovering you, of knowing you, of following you, of learning from you. Jesus, we ask this morning that you would visit us in a very powerful way. We recognize, God, that we can do nothing apart from you. God, I ask that you would touch the eyes today, that the eyes may see spiritual truth, and that the ears would hear from the Scriptures the voice of God. We ask, Lord, that you would indeed calm our hearts, focus our eyes not on earth, which is so depressing, but to focus our eyes upon heaven, which is awesome. We are of another citizenship, aren't we, Jesus? Lord, we know that you're with us today. We know that you love us, and we thank you for being here today. We pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all those who love God would say, amen. Amen. And it's so good to see you. Do you remember what you were doing a year ago about this time? Can anybody remember what you were doing a year ago about this time, like trying to find toilet paper? Remember that? Can you remember that? It's pretty scary to think that that's the one thing Americans go for is toilet paper, but I don't know. Do you remember a year ago this time? It's been a year. Praise God that we're finally getting these vaccinations, and I'm starting to see you, man. I just want to hug you, but I can't, right? I don't want to scare anybody, but man, I just miss you guys, and what a year. What an interesting year, a COVID year. Looking for toilet paper. I remember Cinda sending me pictures. She goes, "You cannot believe this." And she was taking pictures of the market and all the shelves empty. It looked like when I was in Romania, you know, it was amazing. It was like America for a while became a third world country. This pandemic, we've lived through history. Congratulations. Your grandparents that had passed away didn't live through this. This is unique for you. Congratulations. I'm tired of living through history. I don't know about you. This has been humbling. This has been confusing. 3 feet, 6 feet. I mean, mask, no mask, double mask. This whole thing has been humbling, hasn't it? It's been confusing. It's been scary. You know, my secret is get close to Jesus. I'm telling you, when I look at the world, I get depressed. I put my eyes up toward Jesus. I feel better. Don't you? Earlier this year in January, as we were in a time of prayer as a leadership team, pastors, I just felt Jesus say, "My people need me." And he knows that what we're going through. And he just said, "Draw near to me." And that's been our goal. In January, we began a series called Knowing Jesus. I want you to know him, right? This John 17:3, this is eternal life, that you may know Jesus. Knowing Jesus is associated with eternal life. Do you know him? I want you to know him, you know, and to know him like, so we went through a series on like, what was Jesus like growing up as a kid, and what was he like in Nazareth, and we talked about his early ministry, and him fulfilling prophecies, and coming to the Sea of Galilee, and fulfilling Isaiah chapter 9. Those that walk in darkness, a great light will dawn. The ministry of the Messiah prophetically is in the Sea of Galilee, and 700 years later, Jesus came and began his ministry on the Sea of Galilee. And miracles and healings and wonders and signs, he rocked the place. It was a shuttle launch. And as huge crowds were following Jesus, one day he took them up on a hill. And the hill's not that far away from Capernaum, where the home base of Jesus' ministry. The hill is a fun walk, actually. And Jesus took them on a hill, and he began teaching them. You know, it's one thing to know Jesus. It's another thing to learn from Jesus. Jesus invites you, not just, you know me. He invites you, wants you to learn from me. And so the question is, what have you learned from Jesus in your life? What has Jesus taught you about life? What has Jesus taught you about earth? What has Jesus taught you about heaven? What are the things that Jesus has taught you that are profound? What are the things that Jesus has taught you that are practical? Jesus invites you to sit at his feet and learn from him. And so we thought, man, wouldn't it be cool to like pretend like we're going up on a mountain and we're sitting down as a first century Galilean and we're listening to Jesus as he teaches his famous Sermon on the Mount, which is amazing. Matthew 5 is so profound. He starts with blessed are the poor in spirit, and that's the thesis of his sermon. If you're not poor in spirit, then why do you need me? He starts Matthew 5 with that. He says at the end of it, be perfect. I can't. I know. Just be morally perfect. I can't. I know. You and I need a Savior. When Jesus is done with Matthew 5, no one's left standing. Everybody says, I need a Savior. Good, because that's why I'm here. Jesus rolls into Matthew, his chapter 6, and he begins talking about practical things like prayer, giving, fasting. Pastor Graham, great sermon last week. He did the first half of Matthew 6, and I'm now going to do the last half. We're on a mountain on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is teaching. And Jesus now begins to talk about money, wealth, treasure, and worry. Practical, right? Very practical, right? Listen to this again. Jesus is speaking, and there you are. You're sitting on a... It's right about this time. It's around Passover when Jesus gave this. The hill is green. It's beautiful. It's green. It's gorgeous. And Jesus, you're sitting on this grassy hill, and there he is. And the miracle man, the guy that's healing people, is speaking these words. And he says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Listen, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin or rust, a deteriorating agent, right? Don't store for yourself where moth and rust or vermin destroy, where thieves sneak in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, where thieves don't break in and steal. Listen to this. Jesus says this, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, Jesus says. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And then the light within you is darkness. How great is that darkness? Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. And he says, basically, you can't serve God and money. As Jesus begins teaching, did you notice he speaks of two kingdoms? He begins talking about two treasures. Treasures on heaven, treasures on earth. He talks about two spiritual conditions of light and darkness. He talks about two masters, between God and wealth. And ultimately, Jesus is talking about two life purposes. What are you living for? Your own welfare or for God? He's warning us about money. What is Jesus not warning us about money 2,000 years ago in the Sermon on the Mount? If you're going to take notes with me this morning, I want to first talk about what he's not warning us about. Jesus is not warning us. Jesus is not saying it's wrong to own things. FYI, Jesus is not saying it's wrong to own things. You know what? Jesus owned things. I'm sure Jesus owned his own tools. And if you've ever hung out with a person who's a craftsman, don't touch their tools. Okay? And I bet Jesus had that quote, don't touch my, you know. Jesus owned his own tools. I'm sure that he owned his own house. I'm sure Joseph probably built the house for Mary and the family in Nazareth. And I'm sure as the family grew, Jesus was a part of helping Joseph build their house in Nazareth. I'm sure Jesus is not saying it's wrong to own things, okay? What else is Jesus not saying about money? Jesus is not saying it's not wrong to save money for a rainy day. Jesus is not saying it's wrong to save money for a rainy day, okay? That's not what he's saying. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the complete opposite. It praises people who save for a rainy day. When you read in Proverbs, it speaks of, look at the ant. The ant stores up in the summer so it has wealth or food in the winter. Joseph was so wise, he saved in the 7 years of plenty for the 7 years of want. The Bible says a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Okay? Jesus is not saying it's bad to own things. Jesus is not saying it's bad to save for a rainy day. Jesus is not saying, take notes with me. Jesus is not saying it's wrong to enjoy the fruits of your labor. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the scripture says to enjoy the works of your hands. You know, you work hard, you save. You can enjoy the work of your labor. You know? Jesus isn't giving these warnings about money, okay? But what Jesus is warning, what is he warning us? What's the warning about wealth? It's this. This is it. Note number 4. Jesus is saying it is wrong to put your heart and life purpose in material possessions. That's wrong. This is what he's warning about money that's bad and what's not bad. What's bad, if you put your heart, your life purpose in stuff, it's wrong. The selfish accumulation of goods, the foolish belief that a life consists in the abundance of possessions and all that comes with it, like identity and self-worth and purpose, right? And ultimately, Jesus says, this is an issue of the heart. See, where does your heart lie? In the possessions? See, our heart will always follow our treasure. So what do you treasure in your heart? C.S. Lewis, I've been quoting him a lot lately, I've been reading him a lot lately, he had a beautiful quote. C.S. Lewis is the greatest apologist of the 20th century. He was an atheist who became an agnostic, became a deist, who became a follower of Jesus, reluctantly, and just a brilliant Oxford professor who one day bowed his knee and became a follower of Jesus. And he's a sharp guy. And he said this. He says, prosperity knits a man to the world. He feels that he is finding his place in it, while really it's finding its place in him. That's profound. That's profound. Have you noticed that sometimes you don't own things, but things own you? Have you noticed that? You think you own that? You don't own that. It owns you. I've tried to explain to my kids that the greatest music is in the 80s. and they push back at me and give me a hard time, and I've even pushed into the realm of, I think that some of the best movies ever made came out in the 80s, and they make fun of me and they laugh at me. But there was a movie in the 80s called Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Right? Okay. You guys, how many people have seen it? You online, right? You guys saw it? Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Great movie. This kid wants to ditch school. Great godly movie. Ferris wants to ditch school, right? And so one day he does. He's lying, he's deceptive, he does all this, and he has a friend named Cameron. I believe his name's Cameron. And Cameron's dad owns a 1961 Ferrari that only 100 of them were built, and it had like 182 miles on it or something like that. Do you guys remember this? And so Ferris decides that for their day off, they need to take dad's car for a joyride for their day off. You remember this? And Cameron's, this is a bad idea. But they did it. And they went and they had a nice time. They had fun. It was a funny movie. It's a great movie. I'm not saying to watch the movie, but it's 1986. That was 1 year into Jesus. I was a young believer, dude. I thought it was a great movie. But anyway, so see, this is the logic. The kids are going to steal this Ferrari, and then when they get back, how are we going to get the miles off the car? We're going to put it up on jacks, and we're going to put it in reverse, and we're going to run the wheels backwards and take the miles off the car. Y'all remember this? So this was the scheme. We're going to take this Ferrari on a joyride. We're going to have a day of ditching school, and then nobody will know. But they find out one day when they put it back on the jack stands, the miles aren't coming off. And there's this moment in the movie when it was just a stupid movie, dude. It had a profound moment to it. Cameron started crying, and he starts looking at this Ferrari, and he starts screaming at it, "My dad loves his car more than me. My dad loves his car more than me. My dad loves his car more than me," and he starts kicking it. Kicking it. And kicking it until he dents it. And do you know what, you guys know what happened, for those of you who saw it. Do you remember he kicked it one too many times? And it went off the jack stands. And the car's got the, you know, and it hits the ground. And they were living in a house on a hill, and the Ferrari flew off the mountain. Right? Problem. See, dad, a dad that has treasure misplaced will affect his family. A mom that has her treasure misplaced will affect her family. See, materialism binds us to earth, doesn't it? And see, Jesus says that these earthly treasures that we live for are short-sighted. They grow rusty, they're moth-eaten, thieves will steal, or they'll fly out the window. Things that you live for, they're temporal. They're temporal. Jesus says, put your heart in heavenly treasures that don't have these problems, and they're eternal, right? Things like loving God, that's eternal. Things like loving people, growing in godly character, righteous living, sharing Jesus, giving to Jesus. See, these are eternal treasures that can never be taken away. Which treasures do you live for? Those on earth or those in heaven? Jesus says you can't live for both. Why can't I live for both? He says you just can't do it. Matthew 6:24, Jesus says no one can serve two masters. You can't serve the 1961 Ferrari and Jesus. You can't serve two masters, Jesus says. You'll either hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and possessions, wealth, money, treasure. See, here's the note. Note number 5. See, living for wealth, Jesus says, is a distraction to God's higher purposes for your life. Do you want to learn from Jesus on a hill? Then learn. Here it is. He's speaking about money, possessions, wealth, treasure. Where does your heart lie? And you know what's cool? It's kind of interesting. Jesus says this is all about vision. He says, you know what? This is all about what your eyes. I mean, it's kind of interesting. When you first read this, you're like, Jesus, why do you talk about eyes as you're talking about this? He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Okay, I get it, Jesus, I guess. Help me, Jesus, right? But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Think with me, brothers and sisters. Jesus is profound. Almost everything the body does depends on our ability to see. Almost everything our body does depends on our ability to see. See, we need to see in order to drive, to run, to cross a road, to cook, to paint, to play sports, play video games, whatever. See, blind people are amazing and they learn to overcome this to a degree. They're amazing. But the principle that Jesus is saying is true. See, the eye illuminates what the body does. Think with me. The eye illuminates what the body does. See, what you focus on in life is what you move towards. And see, what Jesus is saying is that our eyes that are fixed on our bodies if the eye is healthy, it'll see clearly. Like our ambition. If we can see our ambition, if our ambition of what we see is healthy, we'll live a certain way. If the ambitions of what we live for, what we see and live for are dark, we will be dark, materialistic, selfish, self-centered, abusive, using people to get stuff instead of using stuff to reach and love people. It's flipped. If your eyes are clean, you can see and your body will be blessed. If your ambition is clear, your whole life will be blessed because you're going to live for what is truly meant for your life to be lived for, right? Your ambition. Are you healthy? Do you have a healthy ambition? What are you living for? What are you focusing on with your eyes? It's metaphorical and it's radically literal. When I was taking business classes in my undergrad, my marketing class, it was all about you got to get their eyes. Get their eyes. Get their eyes on your product. Get your eyes on your product. I remember my professor, he says, I don't want to be crass, but all marketing is about wanting your body. Everybody wants your body. Porsche wants your body to be in their product. Nordstrom wants your body to go shop in their mall and wear their clothes. Ralph's wants your body. Everybody wants you, and they want your eyes, because the more you look at something and think on something and dwell on something, the more you want something. Tell me I'm not true. Am I right? Come on, guys, you look at it, and then you go, You see that marketing ad, and you go, And then you start thinking about it, Your eyes. They want your eyes. Just as a seeing eye gives light to the body, so a clear and intentional ambition to know and serve and live for God and His kingdom brings meaning to life and brings light to everything we do. It's all about vision. If we have a physical vision, we can see what we're doing. If we have a spiritual vision, we can see the higher, bigger purposes of life. So how to live and what to live for, how to live for these things. See, learn from Jesus. This is profound. What are you focusing on in life? What are you living for and who are you living for? You and your kingdom or God and His kingdom? What master do you serve? God or the accumulation of wealth or comfort or status or power that comes? It's profound, isn't it? You want to learn from Jesus about money, about wealth? His teachings are practical and they're profound. Did you know that a lot of people worry about money? Therefore, Jesus says, Matthew 6:25-26, therefore, linking two ideas, what I just said with what I'm about to say, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will wear, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Question to you on a hillside. Are you not much more valuable than they? Apparently, 2,000 years ago, people worried a lot about money. Apparently, people had anxiety over money. Possibly that's the case today and the 2,000 years later, right? Jesus says, your heart follows treasure. Where is your treasure? What are you living for? What are you worried about? What are you fixing your eyes on? Jesus is sitting on that hillside and he's teaching, get a bigger perspective. Focus on God. And I almost feel like Jesus is telling them, I just need you to breathe a little bit. Just chill out. Just breathe. If you're a child of God, don't worry about your life. Food, clothing. See, Jesus isn't saying these are not legitimate needs, but he's saying don't fixate on them, right? Right? Is life not more than your 401k? Is life not more than the housing market? Is life not more than food? Is life not more than clothing? Is life not more than your relationship status right now or your likes on social media? Is your life not more than this? Right? Are we really so narrow focused and short sighted that we're missing what life is really about? Question mark, question mark, question mark. I love it. I almost can picture Jesus teaching and birds flying by, and Jesus, being the great teacher, goes, look at the birds in the sky. Do they worry? And then he asks the question, as the birds fly by, he says, are you more valuable to God than those birds? Have you ever asked yourself this question? Are you more valuable to God than birds in the sky? What do you think? It's amazing as I've been reading this. Do you realize the one who's asking this question? Jesus is sitting on a hillside saying, are you not more valuable than birds? And who is asking this question? But the incarnate God Almighty, who came to earth, who emptied himself and took the form of a human being. God himself became earth and walked among us. God in human flesh. He's here. He's walking in our midst, and he's not here because he's bored and thought it'd be fun. God came, why? Why is Jesus sitting on that hillside? Why did Jesus come, right? Why is he here? You know, it's interesting. A few years ago, actually a long time ago, when Pastor Frank was a young Christian, I scared people in my family. Frankie's become religious. I scared people. Did you do that? And I was just bold. Now I think I have more tact with my boldness. A family member of mine one day, I was sharing Jesus with this family member, and this family member was pushing back at me. And just then a jet plane was flying overhead. And this person said, if there is a God, it would be like this ant trying to understand this jet plane. He says, if there is a God, Frankie, there's no way we could know God, because God would be so amazing and so huge and so incredibly hard to understand. There's no way we could even comprehend God. It'd be like this ant trying to understand that 747 flying overhead. Good point, right? And the Holy Spirit, I feel, I said, okay, But what if that jet plane became an ant? So he could communicate to the ant who he is. Do you think then that that ant could begin to understand that jet plane? That's not bad, huh? I still think that was the Holy Spirit. I kind of won that one, you know? Like, you know, you're trying to win, and I'm like trying to get this guy to accept Jesus. What? That's exactly who Jesus is. Who's on that hillside? It's God in human flesh saying, are you not more valuable than the birds in the sky? I don't know. Am I? You totally are. Why do you think I'm here? Do you realize how valuable you are? How precious you are in the eyes of your Creator? How you're worth more than those birds to Jesus. He didn't die for those birds. Listen, Romans 8, 38 and 39. The Apostle Paul says, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on, smile with me on that one, right? He's sitting on a hill and these birds fly by and he goes, look at those birds. Are you not more valuable than they? Jesus takes care of those birds. He'll take care of you. Is that right? What Jesus is not saying, as you look at those birds, is to kick back and put up your feet and do nothing. I don't know if you've noticed, but birds work hard. So we have a hummingbird feeders out in front of our kitchen window. And those hummingbirds, they're there every day. And I love watching them. They're working, but I don't see them worrying. They don't seem to be worrying. They work and they work hard. Jesus isn't saying to kick your feet up. But what he is saying is that just as your Father in heaven takes care of birds, he'll take care of his kids. Okay, we're sitting with Jesus on a hillside, right? We want to learn. Matthew 6, 26 through 30, Jesus says these words. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Answer, yes. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Anyone? Can you, by worrying, add any hours to your life? As a matter of fact, if you worry, it can take away hours from your life. Right? Stress and worry takes away life. Can you add a single... And why do you worry about your clothes, Jesus says. See the flowers of the field grow. Man, I love it. I could almost see Jesus. He had them all looking at the birds flying by. And now he has them all looking at the fields and the beautiful flowers that grow there this time of year, which are absolutely incredibly beautiful. Okay? It's our messianic guide, Sarah. She goes, stop the bus. Oh my goodness. And we're stopping the bus. She goes, look at the flowers over in that field over there. And we're looking at the flowers. She goes, these are the flowers that Jesus was talking about. And she would read this, you know. These are the flowers that are blooming this time of year. Jesus says, look at the flowers, right? Look at the flowers. They do not labor or spin. I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was not like dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Ah, and then here it comes, you of little faith. Look at the birds, look at the flowers, and look at who made them all, your heavenly Father in heaven. Look at the birds, look at the flowers, look at planet Earth, look at God made it all, and He's your heavenly Father. As He provides, He'll provide for you. Trust in God. Jesus says it's a faith issue. Oh, my goodness. And then Jesus ends with this, and here it comes. The end of Matthew 6. So do not worry. 31 through 34. Don't worry. I can almost see him on the hill saying, you need you just to chill out a little bit. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans, you know who that is? It's the Romans. The Gentiles, those that don't know God. The pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them, okay? He gets it. I know this is important. He's not dismissing this. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. I don't know if you've heard the rumor, but each day has enough troubles of its own. You're so worried about tomorrow and tomorrow. How about just let's just focus on today and be thankful for today and seek God's kingdom today and get my priorities right today. And if I keep doing that every day, I'm good. Okay? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all this stuff will be added unto you. Another good C.S. Lewis quote. I like this one. It's in his Mere Christianity. Aim at heaven, and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth, and you'll get neither. Let that sink in. If you aim at earth and you don't get heaven, you're going to misunderstand earth and why you're here. Right? Aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. If you aim at earth, you're going to miss it. Boy, I think, have you learned this? Because I think I have. Becoming a believer in Jesus, I think I finally now understand why I'm on earth. I think I understand the purpose of wealth and not the purpose of wealth. I think Jesus has taught me what is important and what isn't important. And man, dude, it's all going to burn. That's the old saying. I early in my faith, man, I remember buying a brand new surfboard, a Becker 7.4 round nose. Anyone? Man, you know what happens? Every time I get something new, God purposely destroys it. Every time I get a new car, there's a door ding, right? Anytime this or that, man, I'm out surfing on my board. The first time out, I tore the front end off of it. And my friend John says, Frankie, he says, it's all going to burn. Don't put your heart in a Becker ultralight 7.4 round nose tri-fin. That was so fun to surf on. So confession time. When I was newly married, when we were first married, I had my surfboard in our apartment at Deerfield Apartments. And when I would be leaving to go away to work, whatever, I'd say, bye, honey. And I'd walk past Cinda and I'd kiss my surfboard. Just to make her mad. I was teasing her. You know, if you're going to have a good marriage, you got to be able to tease one another. Write that down. That's very important. Yep. Do you guys see what Jesus is trying to teach us? You're sitting with Him on a hillside, aren't you? It's a beautiful day. You're in Galilee. It's a beautiful time. It's springtime. It's around Passover. The miracle man, Jesus, has just healed half of the city of Capernaum. And the whole countryside's exploding with this miracle man. And they're following him. And he goes up on a hillside and It's not just do I know him, but do you learn? You want to learn from him? You want to learn from him? If you learn from him, if you want to learn from Jesus, he invites you. Come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. Jesus wants you to learn from him. Matthew 11:28. Learn. What did you learn from Jesus? If someone was to ask you today, so what's Jesus been teaching you lately? What would you say? What's the most profound thing Jesus has ever taught you? What topic? Right? What do you want? I'll teach you about marriage. I'll teach you about race. I'll teach you about hate. I'll teach you about materialism. I'll teach you about kingdom of heaven. Ask Jesus. He'll teach you anything. And I always say this, people. If somebody can raise themselves up from the dead, they probably know more than you do. You should probably listen to him. He's probably smarter than you on every topic. Know Jesus. Do you know him? Do you know him? I did this a few weeks ago. It's pretty cool, you know? This piece of string represents your life, okay? And this colored part is your life. You have a birth date, and you're going to have an end date. Pastor Frank, you're being so depressing. Hate to let you know that someday you're going to die. Your body's going to break, and you're done. Jesus is saying, don't focus on this, focus on this. Don't focus on temporal, focus on eternal. The 1961 Ferrari, cool car, it's all going to burn. What is more important? Eternity. Put your heart in the treasures of heaven, where moth and rust will not destroy and thieves will not break in and steal. It's an internal investment. You live for the kingdom of God. Can you hear Jesus? He's telling you this morning, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this other stuff God will deal with. He's not telling you to be lazy. Birds work. He's not telling you to be irresponsible. But you seek God and his kingdom, and all this stuff will be given unto you as well. God is your father, and he'll watch over his children. There's his message. What do you think? Is that a good message? It's the best message. I mean, this is Jesus' most famous sermon. He wants you to learn. Disciple, learn from me. Learn from me. See, this song, Sparrows, that Keziah sung, I heard it first on the radio, and I'm like, oh, right? And then you start downloading it. I've been singing this song almost every day. He's been good to me. He's been so good to me. A heart that's planted in forgiveness. I mean, it's a good song. I'm going to ask her to sing it again. I'm going to ask the band. I want you to listen. Maybe, I've never heard that song, Pastor Frank. Well, I want you to hear it again. I want you to stir it in. And as the worship team comes up, let me just pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. Jesus, teach us, Jesus. Jesus, to know you is eternal life. To learn from you is the ultimate wisdom. To learn from you is the ultimate wisdom, God. Jesus, teach us about life. Jesus, would you speak into our hearts about a variety of topics? How about money, Lord? How about wealth? How about our treasures? What are we living for? Jesus, help us to focus on bigger things. And what we focus on, we'll move towards. Focus on bigger things. Jesus, may you be our treasure, as we are yours. May you be our treasure in our hearts over everything else. as we are yours. Thank you for being a great teacher, Jesus. Thank you for teaching us. We pray in your name. Amen.